Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers take another one on the chin, this time in Atlanta without Anthony Davis. Are we back on Darvin watch? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. This one is always free. It is never behind a paywall because we do not want you people out there to have to pay money to vent and get angry and hear all the news that's going on with the Lakers right now as the slump continues. They drop below 500, now 24 and 25. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go hang out with over 22,000 subscribers, all angry about the stuff that I was just talking about. DeJounte Murray, Andy, we'll talk about whether or not he passed his audition tonight for the Lakers as the Lakers lose to Atlanta. But there is a lot to unpack because this 138-122 loss on the heels of Monday night's thumping in Houston, the ugliness continued, to say the very least.
I mean, DeJounte Murray passed his test and, you know, he looked like somebody who wouldn't mind getting traded to the Lakers. But the problem is, as I pointed out on Twitter at Cam Brothers, everyone on the Lakers looked like they'd be more than willing to be a part of the deal. I mean, quite frankly, Sadiq Bey passed a test about whether
every member of the Hawks, basically, like, right. You know, Bogdanovich, he's like, I want to play in LA. Johnson, Trey, Capella, like, they were all like, send me to LA, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, it was just another very listless performance from the Lakers. The second straight game that they lost by exactly 16 points, 138-122, back-to-back on the road. So I guess in that sense, they're consistent.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
They are now one game below 500, continually just taking one step forward, one step back, seemingly on a road to nowhere. You know, bringing this full circle before we unpack the rest of the game and some of the stuff that happened before the game and comments about it after the game, namely Christian Wood and a certain tweet that he sent out. We've reached that stage of the season. DeJounte Murray, you know, in a vacuum, looked like somebody who could be a nice addition to this team, but it does swing back to that concept of the way they're playing right now. What's DeJounte Murray going to do just arriving with other people going out? Like, yeah. There's just a lot going on with this team, all of which was exacerbated without Anthony Davis being there.
Let's talk about that because, you know, a lot of Tuesday night's loss, I should say, is set up by Monday's loss. You know, you have the recurrence of the injury to Anthony Davis, the hip groin thing. There's also like some sort of Achilles thing that was also on the injury report. Basically, Anthony Davis is very, very, very sore and is banged up and has been working through it. But the injury report on him is getting longer, not shorter, and that is not good. He was unavailable, not surprisingly, to play in Tuesday's game. LeBron, who... just go back and watch Monday's show. Inexplicably played almost 40 minutes in Houston, despite the fact the Lakers were getting their butts completely kicked and were down by 30 in the third quarter. He came back and he played in this game and played, you know, what was it? Move the box score.
36 minutes.
I was going to say 37. You know, another big minute night for LeBron in a game where the Lakers really weren't competitive. Everything about this setup in terms of where the Lakers go from here, the way the stars are, you know, kind of playing, or, you know, the health of them or whatever, nothing looks good for the Lakers going into very difficult games against a red hot Knicks team and the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, there were some individually good performances in this game. Like LeBron, even though he just visibly looked exhausted, I mean, just completely fried, I thought he played a reasonably good game, 20 points on 7 of 17 from the field. He missed 4 of 9 from the line and said himself he was ass at the line, although
he had
the team
company.
Was 14 of 25, so he was certainly not alone. You know, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. He had this incredible chase down block that the loose ball went immediately to some hawk who ended up
Sadiq Bey.
Sadiq Bey. And LeBron had this look on his face afterwards, like he wanted to quit, but not like quit on this game. I mean, just like quit basketball, like just disappear. Like go relocate in Iowa or something and just live a quiet life by himself. Just as a 9-to-5 schnook.
Like he Are just you LeBron looked like, James? No. What would I be doing living here if I was LeBron James?
Like, you know, Austin Reeves got better as the game went along. I thought Rui had a nice game. Jarrett Vanderbilt had some good moments. But collectively as a team, they were awful.
They really
just
were.
Awful.
I mean, it was just like we've talked about this with LeBron. Like this was second night of a back-to-back. After the double overtime game on Saturday, all these other things, like there are limits as to, I think, like what you could expect LeBron to be able to provide from a pure energy standpoint. And he put it out there a few times.
He did.
And he was working at it. And the Lakers got off to a decent-ish start, you know, in terms of the score, not their performance. But like, you know, LeBron was playing, man. It was one of those few times this year where you could look at him and he just looking at the bench, and he said it after the game. He's like, what, you know, what can people do? He's like, do your jobs. It's like, okay. Yeah. And people,
he actually was funny. He started to say, you know, I'm not here to, and then he got cut off by the media relations person. You know, like we're done. That's done. And LeBron was like, it's probably good that you cut me off because
yeah,
I was getting going. Nothing good was going to come from what he was about to say.
The next sentence was not going to be a positive one. So good save there from the PR staff. But it's like this was one of those few nights you could see this year where it was just like, you know what, guys? I'm 39 bleeping years old with 750,000 NBA minutes under my belt. I played 50 minutes the other day, 40 yesterday for reasons none of us understand. I'm going to need a little help here. And for Sadiq Bey, I just chased down this ball. We're down like 16 points trying to make our final push with even like a chance to get back in it. I just chased down this block and no one picked up this other guy. Like,
yeah,
come on. Yeah.
I do not blame LeBron for feeling that way after this game at all. Like, again, he was clearly exhausted, but I thought he really tried to make a game of this one.
Yeah. There is a certain level. I mean, look, D'Angelo Russell has been excellent throughout January. He finished an excellent January with a terrible game. It happens. But, you know, Taurean Prince has really picked a bad time to go into the pooper here, given everything that's going on contextually. I actually think part of the discourse actually is impacting how he's playing, because he's not stupid. He's just a guy trying to do his job and play as hard as he can.
That was one of the things that I mentioned during Tuesday's show, was part of the reason that the lineup issue, you know, like the starting lineup and the move that I've said many, many times, I think they should switch. If it's not going to be Vando, someone else who can provide more things that you don't get from Taurean and you are getting from other guys. But I feel bad for Taurean in this, because he's turned into a punching bag and this avatar for Darvin and this extension everything that they don't like about him. And he is, for the most part, out there doing his job. He has been indicative of a problem team-wide, and I think in some ways Darvin's decisions, but he is, for the most part, doing his job, although not tonight.
Not tonight and not this month.
No.
And it's something we can get to. Maybe not for today's show, but You know, the Lakers have a couple days off before their next games. We can talk about Taurean and his splits, and the roots of some of the frustration that fans have with Darvin through Rui. But let's talk about Christian Wood. Let's talk about Darvin Ham, because I am wondering if we are inching back towards Ham Watch, Andy, a dark place for the Lakers to be as we near the All-Star breaks. Do all that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by eBay Motors, and our partners at eBay Motors have teamed up with Locked On Fantasy Basketball host Josh Lloyd to bring you some of the best fantasy picks each week all season long. Whether you're prepping for a daily draft or scouting the waiver wire, each week we are going to provide you players that are guaranteed to fit your roster. So let's see who Josh has picked out for us on this week's eBay's Guaranteed Fit Fantasy Picks of the Week. Current friend Jared Vanderbilt, they've been getting a lot of stats, even like a night like tonight. Jared Vanderbilt, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 6 of 6 from the field. So, you know, kind of like I've described Jared before as a bit of a poor man's Lamar Odom. And in a lot of ways, I think you get those kind of lines from Jared Vanderbilt, and his minutes have been going up. Also, old friend Josh Hart with another old friend, Julius Randle, out with a separated shoulder for the Knicks. Josh Hart could be getting extended minutes.
He had a triple-double on Tuesday.
Yes, he did. Josh Lloyd from Locked On Fantasy Basketball is going to help you win your fantasy championship. And eBay Motors knows a championship team is about each player being a perfect fit. Same with your vehicle. And had I have known about eBay Motors back in the day when I had a car before that kind of let fall to crap and it ended up catching on fire, I would not have had to deal with all this. There was over 122 million parts for my number one ride or die then just waiting for me. Brake kits, LED lights, even fire extinguishers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. eBay Guaranteed Fit, only available to U.S. customers, eligible items only, exclusions apply.
All right. LeBron put it, I think, succinctly, Andy, that the Lakers are capable, after the game, he said the Lakers are capable of beating any team in the league on any night, and they are also capable of getting their asses kicked by any team in the league on any night, and that is why they are a 500 team. But you look over at the response that they're getting on the floor, even compared to last year when, you know, the record was similar to this point leading up to the deadline, and all of this other stuff. And it's not the same. Like there is not the same level of energy, the same level of belief. They don't look like a team that particularly believes in their coach, and their coach does not speak or appear to be the guy who believes that his players believe in him. And that is why, Andy, I think we are back into Ham Watch.
at least it's a funny name for a situation that's not particularly funny at all. Side note on that, before we even get deeper inside the bones of Ham Watch, the hawk, if you will. One thing that jumped out at me during tonight's game is whether this is indicative of the season that AD is having right now, and really, I think, an extension of the way he played in the second half of last year and the carryover from it, or where LeBron is at this stage of his career, or combination of both. But this team now is officially far better equipped to play without LeBron than they are without AD. To be clear, doesn't mean it's a picnic if it's no LeBron. I want to make that clear. Like, you have AD, no LeBron. We've seen plenty of times where the struggle, particularly down the stretch, becomes real. But you see them having more of a chance with AD.
It's two ways. It's, first of all, I'll skip the obvious part till we get to the second, but like, it's not even just the fact that like they can't get a stop without Anthony Davis on the floor. I mean, again, his DPOY tape are the games that he doesn't play. I mean, you get used to funneling guys towards, towards Anthony Davis. It's not the same thing when you funnel them towards Jackson Hayes or Christian Wood. And I mean,
you're not even sure either guy's going to be there.
No. I mean, Jackson Hayes, I compared him to a couple things. I compared him on Twitter tonight. I'm not in a happy place with this team. I'm feeling very snarky. I'm taking a lot of shots at people, and it's just how it is. Jacob Root, our friend who was on the day you were doing radio, Andy, filled in for you, noted that a couple plays where Hayes really didn't seem to be going where he was supposed to go. I said he has the exuberance, enthusiasm, and athleticism of a large puppy. Unfortunately, he also has the same level of court awareness, and that is not good. I also later compared Jackson Hayes to a shark because, as you know, Andy, sharks die if they stop swimming. They always have to be moving, which means, like Jackson Hayes, they would be unable to set a legal screen. So
good for one a game, man.
Yeah, at least one a game is good. Like if you get out of there with one. So, but I think it's an underrated thing also to talk about how much losing AD hurts them offensively, because you look at the amount of effort, like, you know, LeBron was doing kind of what but the Lakers had no inside game whatsoever. And you're now reliant on Austin Reeves to like do yeoman's work to try to get the ball into the paint, try to get the ball, you know, somewhere where it can be useful and all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, on the other end, he's trying to also guard Trae Young, which is not really anything he can do on the best of circumstances. And so you've got this situation where you're now taking a guy like Reeves and having him work six times as hard on both sides of the ball. And no wonder he looks a little gassed during the game. They really cannot function without Davis.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess in some respects that is a sign of him having arrived truly as this team's best player. And like the last couple of games, I think whether it's because of, you know, the groin and hips and lower extremities that have been acting up a little more, and frankly, he's been dealing with the whole season, or just reaching a place where the effort's been catching up to him on both sides of the ball. But the last few games, I think AD's looked pretty tired. Anyway, like I remember maybe it was like a week or so ago, we noted, I don't remember which game it was, but the AD didn't play particularly well. And we're like, you know, even superstars are due for an off game. Since then, he's been more okay than the majority of the
season. What is it, the third most minutes in the league or something?
Yes.
Absurd like that.
He's been like a legit, this was, I think, the game that he missed tonight broke a streak where I want to say he had played like 94 or 95 straight games. Like he's really been far more durable than his reputation over like the last like season and a half, something like that. But he's been looking a little bit more tired. And I think that relates to the extreme defensive slippage that we've seen even before this game, which was just slippage on steroids. But they just, you know what, though? It was interesting hearing Byron and Scott and James Worthy were talking on the Spectrum Sportsnet postgame show. And, you know, they were talking about the lack of defensive effort in this game and, you know, the lack of getting back in transition, something LeBron talked about afterwards. And, you know, James Worthy said, you know, at some point, Darvin may just have to write on the whiteboard, like, is this who we are? Like, just the idea that, you know, are we going to be this? And, you know, Worthy noted, like, you could tell these guys were not mentally ready to play, and then the mind didn't translate to the body. And then I thought Byron said something really interesting. He said, like, you needed to make those guys feel you more in this game. And he talked about, like, how he said, quote, even if it's what I used to do back in the day, I would pick you up 94 feet. And every time you do pass the ball, you're going to feel me. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to do something. But we did not make them feel us at all. And I don't mean necessarily picking up Trae Young or DeJounte Murray at 94 feet, because especially without AD, this team isn't equipped to do that. You know, that's not what D'Lo does. That's not what Austin Reeves does. Like, it is what Vando can do, and Vando can do on this team. But the idea of physicality or lack thereof as indicative of what you did not see from this team in terms of just will and heart, I think was a really good observation by Byron. Like, it just was not there, just in terms of, you know what, we're going to make sure you know we're here, even if we can't play our best, even if we're going to lose.
I think that gets to a lot of why those guys were not upset that Vanderbilt got thrown out in Monday, but that he didn't kind of get his money's worth. Like, you know, they kept trying to say, like, we're not advocating violence and punching, but you could tell they were 100% advocating violence and punching.
We're advocating shoving, at the very least, like real shoves.
Something more than just a firm poke to Dylan Brooks's head.
Facial mush.
But all these things are related. And they're all, I mean, look, they're related to the Christian Wood subtweet, which he tried to explain after the game. And I don't think a lot of people were buying it, but, like, you know, when Christian Wood is always going to be an imperfect messenger for a message. But when we come back, I want to talk about how this relates to where the team is right now, because, you know, what did Christian Wood do and kind of how it fits into the mood of where we are with this group. And then back again to Darvin Ham is all super important. So we'll get there next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by LinkedIn, and January is just about in the books. And at the start of every new year, small businesses all ask themselves the same question: what is the one move I can make that'll take my business to the next level in 2024? And LinkedIn Jobs knows that your success all depends on the team you surround yourself with. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's hard enough just to run your business. Wouldn't proven help to streamline the process of hiring be an incredible asset? Yes, it would be. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. Hiring becomes so easy that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Think about that. Finding who you need the first time within a day gives you even more time to focus on the big picture goals of 2024. That's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Thankfully, with LinkedIn, the process is intuitive, quick, and easy. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonmba. That's linkedin.com/lockedonmba to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So Darvin, without Anthony Davis, Darvin Ham chose to start Jaxson Hayes, which obviously made a lot of people upset. Torian Prince still in the starting lineup. This actually is a defensible one. Most coaches will do the thing where they try to make an absence as less disruptive by not taking the backup, putting in the start. You just keep the rest of the rotation the same. You take the third guy, put him in one, and you go. That apparently wasn't what Christian Wood thought, and he just tweeted out before the game, LOL. Most people took that as an indication that Wood was lolling at the starting lineup choice, and Jaxson,
he did this like 35 minutes before the game, just to make sure everyone knows. He didn't tweet this out at like 9 a.m. and people are reading super deep into it.
No, Darvin was asked about it after the game and basically kind of brushed the question aside. I'm not on social media, I didn't see it, but he did then say we all have to man up and do our jobs. I think Darvin was very aware of it. And then Christian Wood was asked about it after the game and tried to explain it away, I guess.
I have Christian's exact words. He said, quote, I meant to quote something, as in quote tweeting, but I didn't have the quote. I thought I did, and I just pressed send. I couldn't check. And then he said he couldn't check the phone because he had to go back on the court. And then he said, quote, it was an accident. I didn't mean, I just looked at it now. I didn't mean it came off a certain way. I didn't mean it that way. He said later, I understand what it looks like. Not basketball related. Definitely not basketball related. I did not believe Christian Wood in the moment, but then I really didn't believe him when he was later asked if after, you know, a game like tonight and just in general with what's been going on with the Lakers, like, do you look to try to do more or just play your game? And Christian Wood responded by saying, quote, "I mean, I would love to do more, but I've been playing around 15 minutes a night, 20, 22 minutes tonight. If I had the opportunity to, I would definitely try to." That, kids, is called telling on yourself. Because if you know, if you're trying to sell people on what I believe was a lie that you got caught in, the response to that question is the very boilerplate standard, "I can always be better."
Yeah.
Like, that's the response you give. "I can always be better." The worst possible response to, I mean, just that question in general, it's not a great response, but especially on the heels of trying to convince people that, no, you were not subtweeting Darvin Ham about not starting, is, "Well, look, man, my hands are tied. What more can I do? I'm only playing 14 minutes a night. You know, I'm doing my thing."
Maybe some Who's of these got other two thumbs and is doing his job? This guy.
I mean, look, some of these other bum asses playing 20 to 30 minutes a night. Go talk to them.
And go talk to Torian Prince, who's playing 30 minutes a night. Okay. You know, no matter what happens.
So, but like, no, what? I don't believe him.
No, I didn't either. And look, Christian Wood does not exactly have the moral authority, I think, to be lolling at and subtweeting the coach. But let's,
particularly on the heels of a game in Houston where he was terrible, he wouldn't have had the right to complain if he was inactive for tonight's game. But like, he was terrible against Houston, and he was one of the few guys that wasn't tired.
Right. No, he, I mean, look, watching that game, the game Saturday was exhausting, I will say. And if you were in the building in there, it was probably even more tiring. So, I mean, I do understand that. But like, look, even giving him the benefit of the doubt and saying that Wood really did mean to retweet something and just didn't do it right and whatever. sure. I mean, okay, fine. The problem is the body language and everything with not just Wood, but every other player on the team basically makes you believe that everyone on the roster, were they offered an opportunity to tweet about different decisions that were being made, particularly around lineups and rotations, would also lol. That would be their tweet as well. And that is problematic. So Wood is an imperfect messenger for a message that it looks like increasingly a lot of players on the team feel.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that jumped out at me, I mean, Christian Wood by himself is not a massive issue. I mean, if they needed to, he's easily cut. And, you know, as he let us all know, he's only playing 14 or 15 minutes a night. So
what are we clinging to?
He is expendable by the way he's framing it. But what jumped out at me from this was two things. First of all, he and Darvin Ham have a relationship. Like, Darvin recruited the bleep out of Christian Wood to get him to come here on a vet minimum because of the time they had spent together. Which team was it? Milwaukee.
Like 14 games or something, right?
Something like that, but they were magical. And like, they have a relationship, but also too, that Wood felt comfortable tweeting this, because if things were okay, the response from other players is going to be, "What the hell, dude? Like, shut up. This is your role. Shut up." If things are going okay, that you feel comfortable putting that out there, knowing how it's going to be interpreted, to your point, that speaks to something that is not good. And we had technical difficulties, lost Brian. He's having some internet issues. So I'm just going to land the plane by myself. It's just starting to feel, as I said, like this team's frustration with their situation and also with Darvin Ham and decisions that are being made, strategies being implemented on both sides of the ball. Just, it's starting to feel like they are coming out more and more in the open. If for no other reason than these guys are aware of the narratives surrounding this team, you know, they are, like all of us, creatures of social media. They are creatures of sports media. They know what is being said about them by the pundits, by the fans, by the armchair analyst, like me, Brian, whoever. They know all this stuff. And they know the heat that Darvin Ham is feeling right now. and you don't hear anybody ever really taking up for him. Like, he's not being outwardly thrown under the bus or outwardly undermined, but it does not feel right now like this locker room is in a good place. They are all hyper aware that change could be afoot. They are probably also hyper aware that Rob Pelinka does not have a ton of quality cards to play at the negotiating table. Like, they are all aware that things are just going badly at the moment. But beyond the things that they can try to fix individually, it just increasingly feels like this is a team that is either tuning out their coach, has lost faith in their coach, or both. And things need to change quickly, or else the Lakers may be in a place where they are put to some extremely unpleasant, difficult decisions that may or may not resuscitate this season, but may just need to be made, because otherwise there's only going to be more negativity that grows from it. So obviously we'll be talking more about this for Thursday and the weeks moving forward. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is, as always, where you go to hang out with a great community of Laker fans. We appreciate all of you, as always, your activity. Leave the comments. We use them a lot in the show, and we will see everybody on Thursday.